Hello and welcome to our second week of online Sunday worship on this, the fifth Sunday in the season of Lent. My name is Diane Collery and I am one of the ministers serving at St. Stephen's United Church in Qualicum Beach. Well, it's been a full 2 weeks and I have to confess that to me it feels like this new reality has been part of our lives for a lot longer than just 2 weeks. But in truth, it has only been that long. This is only our second time gathering together in this new way to worship together. So as we do that, as we gather from wherever each of us are, let's gather together in the wonderful way that God's people have done for so very long. Friends, would you join me in prayer? Loving and life-giving God, today as we gather to remember the vision you gave Ezekiel of the valley with dry bones, we hear that story with a new sensitivity to the incredible promise of breath, and particularly of how you breathe life into things that are waning or even may appear hopeless and lifeless. As we come to worship today, we may come with a sense of heaviness. There is much around that threatens our hope, Lord. So today, as we turn our minds and our hearts to you and to your presence with us, would you be breathing life into each one of us, renewing our strength and our hope, and providing all that each of us need for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading for today is from one of the Old Testament prophets, from the prophet Ezekiel. It is the story of the vision God gave to Ezekiel, a vision of a valley of dry bones and of God doing something wonderful amongst them. So listen today to this word of scripture for us before the sermon. It's from Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them, and there were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. And then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. This is the word of God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I hope you're all doing okay at home as we all go through this most peculiar time together. I'm a person, as you know, who loves hanging out with people, but I'm also fond of a bit of solitude, and while I'm getting lots of the latter, I admit to missing my regular dose of the former. So no, I'm quite missing seeing you all both today and at other times during the week. And yes, I'm already really looking forward to that first Sunday when we're physically back together again. I'm reminded what a great gift that really is. As you might remember from last week's gathering, I occasionally take a wander into the Twitterverse, that being a source of some really good stuff there on Twitter, as well as being a source of some rather vile stuff, so it's user beware. But I do keep my eye out for those occasional bon mots, those humorous lines. My favorite over this last week was the following statement that some gent offered. He wrote, "Now that we've been home all day for over a week, my wife has discovered just a few tiny personal things I could work on." So being home, it has its pluses, and yes, it can have its minuses. But really, being home, that's something that was very much the subtext in our Bible reading from the Hebrew Scriptures today on this fifth Sunday in the season of Lent. To be home. That's what Ezekiel and his fellow exiles so desperately wanted. To be back in the place they loved, where everything was in balance, where God was in the temple, where the nation was strong and healthy, where everything was normal. Just maybe, no, circumstances can't really be truly compared. Maybe at least the yearning sounds a bit familiar today. It certainly does for me. And at the time of the prophet Ezekiel, it was nearly 600 years before the birth of Christ, and things were bad. They were in a horrific state for the people of Israel. A good many of them were in captivity. It was reminiscent of their time as slaves in Egypt. And what with a great many of the population having been transported from Israel to Babylon, the nation that had conquered them. The Babylonians had destroyed their army. They had taken the capital of Jerusalem and the temple, the place of the presence of the Almighty God. It had been flattened. It had been destroyed in 586 BCE. Without the temple, well, nothing made much sense. I mean, the temple was the spiritual heart of the nation. After all, it was understood that God lived there. Without the temple, well, this was a massive spiritual crisis. Nothing made sense anymore. The elites of Israel, and that included Ezekiel and his family, they were members of the priestly class. They'd been in the first wave of deportations and had been taken by their conquerors back to Babylon. And over time, there were more deportations, more transports, and those who remained in Israel were left living in the rubble and devastation of what is now a crushed and a broken country. Ezekiel was a prophet to God's people, though now living in a foreign land. And over his better than two decades of prophesying, he had some hard, hard things to say to his audience, initially preparing them for the coming crash and destruction. It seemed that their leaders had made terrible political choices. The people had not been very faithful. And even after the first wave of deportations, there were still some who believed that, you know, this was just a bump in the road, all overblown, alarmism, and everything was going to be fine. Life would go on normally. But some of them remembered an earlier prophet, Jeremiah, and he'd made it clear that this was a way bigger deal than anyone was pretending. He prophesied on this need to hunker down. This thing they found themselves in was a marathon. It was not a sprint. and it began to dawn on them that things were going to get much, much worse before they got better. And they did get worse. And for the brave, you might choose to read the Book of Lamentations to get a taste of what transpired, but be warned, it is a rather painful read. This was a terrible time for Israel. The people, the nation, they were crushed and they felt abandoned. However, in the latter part of Ezekiel's prophesying, the part from which our reading this Sunday is drawn, it's now after the total collapse of the nation, and when you read through this closing section, you'll notice that the content and the tone of the book of Ezekiel, it's shifted significantly. God, through Ezekiel, is drawing the people's vision towards the future, and it's a hopeful future. Our passage begins with Ezekiel describing how God gave him a vision. It's not a hallucination, it's not the after effects of a bad can of tuna. No, Ezekiel says that the hand of the Lord was upon him, and in the spirit he suddenly sat down in a valley in the middle of what is a dreadful scene. It's like the video footage of some post-genocidal news report that we've seen far, far too often. It's a killing field. Some massacre of a vast number of people has occurred, and the valley is filled with dry bones, bones of people long dead. And note that they've been left open to the elements and to consumers of carrion. They hadn't even received the respect of a burial. They'd just been left where they fell, which in Ezekiel's culture would have been just the final insult and humiliation. That's how far they'd fallen. In the midst of this terrible scene, God addresses him with a question. Mortal, in Hebrew, Adam, human, can these bones live? Now, Ezekiel, he knows his Bible. He knows that God's resuscitated some dead people in the biblical past. Elijah and Elisha's stories describe those accounts. But those were newly dead people, and now we're talking about bones, dry bones at that. And so Ezekiel gives a pretty smart response. He says, only you know the answer to that one, Lord. To which God says, I want you to prophesy. I want you to speak for me to these bones. And the message is, dry bones, listen up to God. I'm bringing the breath of life to you, and you'll come to life. I'll attach sinews to you, put meat on your bones, cover you with skin, and breathe life into you. You'll come alive, and you'll realize that I am God. And so in this vision, Ezekiel does what God commands. And lo and behold, the scattered bones come back together, and soon they have muscle and sinew and flesh, but they're lacking something. Breath. They're missing that rich Hebrew word, ruach. The breath, the wind, the spirit that was first breathed into humanity to make us alive. We read about it in Genesis chapter 2. And so again, at God's command, Ezekiel prophesied, this time for the spirit to come into them. And in the vision, the spirit was in the people, and they lived again. And the passage concludes with the promise of God to open the graves of the dead, those people in exile, and return them to Israel, to their own rightful soil. And yes, they will live again. They have hope. This reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent has me thinking about all sorts of stuff, but a couple of things stand out. The first is that, church-wise, there are some elements of our common life that feel a little as if we've had the breath removed. At least, it's that way for me. Physically not worshiping together, closing the building, closing the office, halting non-Sunday church activities, ending those by other community groups who meet in our building, and now our recent decision to put the community meal on hiatus. And honestly, for me, that actually felt heavier than putting these Sundays together on hold. Those are deflating things, though they're the choices that we needed to make. And while I firmly believe these things are the right and prudent things to do, they also kind of suck the life out of me, at least I find. If we can't be about those things, are we just like, well, dry bones? But you can see, I've done it, haven't I? And I find it so easy to slip into this. I am my value, my worth, my identity, my meaning comes from what I do. And if I can't do that, then what am I? Who am I? Where and what's my significance? And no, those aren't just questions for someone a mere 92 days away from the existential crisis of retirement. Not that I'm counting, of course. But they do have some application. They have some application for me, and perhaps they do for you too. What gives you and what gives me value? First and foremost, my value, our common worth, comes not from what I or we do, but it comes from God and from what God has done and is doing. You and me, we are first and foremost beloved children of God. That precedes everything else, even our actions. One of the key elements of ways to understand this Christian faith biz is to know where to begin. And we love because God first loved us, as the disciple once wrote. Our God loved us so much that, well, God was so attached to us that God would positively die for us. Did, in fact. For God so loved the world. I still have trouble getting my head around that, but that seems to be one of the logical conclusions to be reached when you get to reading to the end of the biblical story. It seems that our God's in it with us for the long haul, and that includes troubled times. And so you and me, first of all, and ultimately, we're God's beloved, and everything else flows from that. Second thing that struck me in reading this passage, something timely, I think, is the reference to breath. That word, ruach, breath, has a clear connection back into the biblical story, to that important place in the creation account when breath is given to human beings. Life is given through breath in that story, and it's given through breath through the Spirit in Ezekiel's vision. But it also took me forward to another place in the Bible, to an account more than 600 years after Ezekiel. It was a Sunday night, and the remaining disciples of Jesus were behind locked doors in a house. They were locked away because they were afraid. Oh, they were anxious. They were so scared. Seems that some had fallen asleep on Jesus when he needed support, and then afterwards, quite shabbily, the whole group had abandoned him, and the leader of the disciples had, in fear, denied even knowing him when he was asked about Jesus, and there'd even been one among them that had actually gone so far as to betray him to his enemies. Crushed and afraid, uncertain as to what they were supposed to do, they engaged in some emergency social distancing, hid in someone's home, locked the doors behind them, probably moved the furniture against the doors too. Suddenly and inexplicably, Jesus himself was among them, and I suspect they argued for years about how that happened. But there he was, with them, amongst them. And he said, "Peace be with you." Not once, but twice. Because, hey, they've been so desperately afraid, and they needed so much reassurance. And you remember what Jesus did next? Okay, he actually did something that we are being advised not to do right now. He breathed on them. It's that Greek word, emphysio. The resurrected Jesus said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, I rather doubt that their fear vanished in the giving of the Holy Spirit, but these beloved children of God, they now had all they needed, all they'd ever need to be Jesus' people in the world. They had breath, they had life, they had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. And this is a gift that's given to all of Jesus' people. It's our most important equipping. But we're sometimes a little fearful about exhaling ourselves, for all manner of reasons, anxious about putting this gift into practice. But I dare say there's some remarkable opportunities for faithfulness for us right now. Some of you have already been talking about them, I know, even from behind our home's closed doors. And yes, if you're paying attention, then you're probably a bit scared. But this is a time when a hopeful people, a people who trust in God, in a Savior who doesn't ever abandon his people, well, this is a Savior who comes to them when they're afraid, in fact. This is a time when our community might benefit from such folk. Can these bones live? Oh God, you know they can. Thanks be to God. Amen. We're about to enter into a time of prayer, and today's prayers were prepared by our brother Simon Collery. So thank you, Simon, and please join me now in prayer. We thank you, loving God, for the vulnerable yet wonderful gift of life. To be alive and to know you is an unspeakable honor. We thank you that from start to finish our life is precious in your sight. May we always praise you for it. Lord, hear our prayer. We thank you, loving God, that our movement towards death and decay isn't the final sentence in our life story. We thank you that by your faithfulness, we are born to new and living hope in a future where love will never be terminated and life will never end. May we always trust in you. So, Lord, hear our prayer. We thank you, loving God, for the Spirit that is able to clothe dead bones with new flesh and give to them the breath of life. We praise you, too, for Jesus, who by his own death has conquered death for us all, and who by his resurrection offers the gift of eternal glory to all. May we accept your gift and walk in obedience to your living word. Lord, hear our prayer. We thank you, loving God, that those who believe in Christ Jesus have already passed from death to life and are even now fed with the bread of heaven. We praise you for the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, and the life everlasting. May we ever proclaim the hope we have to those who despair and live so that your light shines in the darkness of our world. Lord, hear our prayer. Loving God, whose Spirit gave breath to the valley of dry bones, whose touch healed the lame, and whose word raised the dead, hear our prayers today for those who are afflicted by sorrow and illness, by injustice and by despair, by fear and by weakness. Breathe into their hearts, touch their bodies, speak their names, and bring new life to them. We especially pray today for all of us who have been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. We pray for wisdom and resilience for our local, provincial, federal, and world leaders. We pray for your love and peace and your Holy Spirit to pour and settle into anxious hearts and minds. We pray for patience and wisdom during this time of isolation and lack of community. We pray especially for all the world's doctors, nurses, healthcare providers, researchers. Give them the health and strength to carry on. Loving God, help us to turn to your light and remember your promises to us that you will match the days of our sorrows with your joy, and the favor of our Lord will rest upon us. O Lord, hear our prayer. Let us now pray the prayer that Jesus taught his friends, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now, this is the time in our service when we would normally offer a prayer over the tithes and the offerings. And thanks to modern technology, through things like PAR and online giving, we're still able to continue with that in our present circumstances. So I'm going to suggest we do what we normally do. Let's pray over the gifts that are being amazingly transferred. Let us pray. Receive, O God, we pray, our offerings which we give for the service of your church and for the extension of your kingdom. Accept them with the worship of our hearts and lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And always remember, as St. Paul once wrote, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. So, announcements. Please keep checking the church website for stuff. It's a really important way that we can be communicating right now. Note, and you'll see this on the website, that there's a kids church link on the online for online Sunday school. So for those of you in that situation, please take advantage of that. There is we have a subscription to Right Now Media, and this is a really, really good time to access the large number of resources that are there. There'll be some stuff there that you really like, and there'll be some stuff there that's not your cup of tea. Sort through that, and I suspect you'll find something. If you want some recommendations, we are happy to help you with that. So send a note to Di or me, or Carol Perry is another person who's knowledgeable about it, and we'll help you out with that. We are hoping to do some online gathering around some Bible study momentarily. We'll let you know as soon as we're up and running, but it'll be quite soon. In anticipation of that, if you haven't already done this, I would recommend that you download a copy of the program called Zoom to your computer. You can also put it on your phone or your tablet. You can find it by just simply searching for Zoom on your favorite search engine, or Diane or I are happy to send you a link to that particular site. But it's going to be our tool for connecting in that way. As you may know, that the church building is now closed, and so the alarm is on. It's on 24/7 at present, and so if you want to get into the building, you need to put in a code. And so if you don't already have a code, or you can't remember it, you might be wise to give Adele a call. The office is now closed, but we are still connected by phone and email and all that, so just phone to the church and we'll still be able to pick up through the wonders of modical phone forwarding. As I mentioned in the sermon, the community meal is suspended for the moment. And finally, after I offer the blessing, I'd like you to encourage you to access one of the two YouTube sites recommended on our site. The first is some special music from our brother Bruce Feltham, who has recorded some stuff from a previous gospel sing, and so I found that comforting to watch and to listen to Bruce. So thank you, Bruce. And then following that, there's our second hymn, our closing hymn, which I think seems to fit the day rather well. So please do that too. And now the blessing, and you remember it's the same one from last week, but I still think it works just fine. It begins with the words of St. Paul. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Don't quench the spirit, don't despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. And may God bless you and keep you. May the Son save you and direct you. May the Spirit teach you and guide you this day and every day. Let's go in Jesus' name. Amen. Till next week. See you then.